got to tell you about this prediction about jobs made on this program a week ago, which did not turn out that way, sparking some soul searching. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Now, on Thursdays, we like to talk to an economist with a lot of experience analyzing the jobs market and its connection to American livelihoods, to interest rates, and to future growth. I'm talking about Diane Swonk, the chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. She and a lot of other economists missed their jobs forecast last week, and Diane is here to own up. Thank you for joining us.
Good to be here.
So a week ago, we were sitting here on the radio, and you were predicting, along with a lot of other people, that September payrolls, the big employment report of the month, would come in at 200,000. And then the next day, when the data hit, there you were, stuck on live television. It didn't end up that way, did it? It was weak, that report.
No, it was like a body blow, actually. I mean, I think I said I felt like I was standing on quicksand because all the ground beneath us had shifted. Not only did the September report come in less than 150,000, we saw downward revisions to August and July, and this reversed a trend in that volatile August month we've seen since the onset of the expansion. It really was a bad report. All of the internals were bad as well. And the only reason the unemployment rate stayed steady was because fewer people participated in the labor force.
You know, the last refuge of scoundrels in that situation is often to say, well, maybe it's a fluke. And that's not what you were saying on television that day. You're worried that it's not.
It could be a fluke, but I think the reality is that it validated that the Fed delayed liftoff, and it also validated the weak incoming data we had received just days before, that the overall economy had slowed quite dramatically over the summer. We saw weak exports. We saw a widening of the trade deficit. All those things that we were worried would haunt us going forward had already bitten us in the tail.
Clearly, no interest rate rise from the Fed in the coming months?
It's not as clear as that. The Fed is really ready to go. And, you know, from their perspective, raising interest rate is lifting their foot off the accelerator and not hitting the brake. And they've now lowered the threshold. Many were saying 150,000, 200,000, we can easily raise interest rates in that environment. Now 100,000 a month seems enough. That makes it a lot easier for them to move, even if the economy doesn't look like it's delivering as many jobs as it once was.
100,000 jobs added to payrolls. We'll see if that happens. Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, thank you for the briefing.
Thank you.
The weirdness continues. There's word today that the number of people signing up for unemployment benefits unexpectedly fell over the last week to a 42-year low. That's a positive sign for the jobs market and out of keeping with September's weakness. Now, the head of Volkswagen's U.S. operations, Michael Horn, is offering what's characterized as a sincere apology for rigging cars to cheat emissions tests as he testifies in Congress this morning. Marketplace's Amy Scott has read Mr. Horn's prepared testimony. Thank you for joining us, Amy.
Good morning.
Amy, what can this company official say to Congress that will make the situation any better for those stuck with those cars or those breathing their fumes?
Probably not much. In his statement, he apologizes for the company's use of software that made millions of diesel cars appear to run more cleanly than they actually did. And he lays out several steps to rebuild trust. But I spoke earlier with Michelle Krebs, an analyst with Auto Trader, and she says, in some ways, you know, we've seen this movie before with other big car companies.
It's going to be a repeat of what we've seen with the GM ignition switch matter and Toyota recalls. He'll just really be on the hot seat, and I don't think that anything he tells the Congressional Committee will satisfy them.
Horn says in his prepared statement that he learned about a possible emissions non-compliance more than a year ago. So why are the details just coming out now?
Now, there's also news today that Volkswagen is withdrawing its request for U.S. regulators to approve to certify some of its 2016 diesel models. What does that mean?
It means that the company won't be selling those models, at least for now, which could have a really big impact on workers here in the U.S. VW's plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee, employs more than 2,000 people, and about a third of what they make are diesel vehicles. So Krebs says it is possible there could be layoffs.
All right. Marketplace's Amy Scott, thank you.
You're welcome.
The price of crude oil is holding steady this morning at $47.85 a barrel. It was $38 in late August, but what are the chances the price will go higher still? From Washington, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
For months now, oil markets have waited for U.S. frackers to cry uncle, that is, to cut their production because of low prices. It's arrived. Oil rigs are down, and so are barrels produced. Anne-Louise Hiddle is with the consultancy Wood Mackenzie in Houston.
It's the first really strong signal that the market is going to face a turnaround in the fundamentals. We're going to start to see some tightening in supply in 2016.
And she expects higher world demand, especially from the U.S. But this being oil markets, there's always a however, and that would be Iran. It is likely to pump more oil as sanctions lift. Question is, how much and how fast? Here's Citigroup analyst Seth Kleinman.
Over the next few months, you're going to see north of 500,000 barrels a day of Iranian crude coming to the market, and I don't see how that doesn't move the needle lower.
Here's where they both do agree. If prices rise enough to, say, $60, many drillers in North Dakota and in Texas will pump again, and more oil would pressure prices back down. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
In what could be one of the biggest technology acquisitions ever, Reuters reports Dell of Texas is in talks to buy EMC of Massachusetts. Terms aren't yet clear, but EMC was a very early and ultimately huge player in the data storage business way before it was ever called the cloud. Now, the stench of gathering mildew in flooded homes and an estimated $300 million in crop losses are just part of the devastation in South Carolina after that storm. The governor there is calling it a once-in-a-thousand-year event. Natural disasters can alter economics of a region. 4 years ago, Central Texas went through the most devastating fires in that state's recorded history. Marketplace's Andy Euler has been reporting from Bastrop, Texas, on the longer-term consequences.
Jared Milton and his brother own close to 800 acres in a town called Smithville in Bastrop County.
You know, we'd run, there've been cattle constantly on the place since we got the place, basically.
Which has been a while. Milton says his grandfather bought the land before World War II for $6 an acre. They had a ranch house, barns, and a little office off to the side. The fire in 2011 destroyed the family home and the barns. Now Milton lives in the office. He had 60 head of beef cattle on the land, but Texas was going through one of the worst droughts on record.
I had cut the herd in half before the fire, you know, because things were so dry. But the fire just, all of a sudden, you got nothing. You know, you can't even control the cattle and keep them on the place. You know, you didn't want them up there on the highway. And so the only thing in my mind to do was to get them out of here.
The fire burned all his fences. He collected his cattle and sold them in less than a week. He says if he had been able to hold on to them for another 6 months, he would have made about $1,200 more per steer. Jan Kuchel lives down the road and works out of her home. She puts together teams to sell anti-aging vitamins. Nowadays, she spends most of her time on the internet. So when she was forced to leave her house, you might think she wouldn't be affected.
I had a lot of customers. I had a lot of people that were partners in my business that, you know, the last thing in the world they were thinking about after they lost everything and everything melted was, gosh, where am I going to get my vitamins?
In the short term, Bastrop County actually saw a boost in economic activity after the fire. The fire lasted through Labor Day weekend. Home builders and contractors were needed by year's end because folks were getting insurance checks. Debbie Denny ran the Bastrop Chamber of Commerce in 2011. She says some families just wanted to get out.
As far as homeowners, we figured that we lost at least 500 families. So that was tough. I believe we lost 82 businesses. Many rebuilt in different locations.
Like the antique store that had been in downtown as long as anyone can remember. It relocated and tries to help families get furniture for those rebuilt homes. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And a new study from the National Bureau of Economic Research. An improving economy is bad for your health. You eat out more, which hurts diets. You drive more, crash more. You have money to drink more, seriously. Even pollution goes down when the economy slows. So I guess what, we should hope for a slower economy? From studios at Montclair State University today in New Jersey, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.